286, A Faithful Creator. From Psalm 104, we sing the first four stanzas, 1 through 4, of 286. We read from Holy Scripture this evening, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The text of this evening's sermon is verse 16 of this chapter. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So far we read God's holy word. Text of this evening's sermon for prayer day is verse 16. These words, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is our privilege to understand and to know, as we are gathered here for this prayer day service this evening, we are exercising ourselves in the way of life as identified exactly in this Word of God. To pray is to live. To pray is to live the life of faith. To seek God, to praise Him, to seek God to bring before Him our petitions and our supplications, to seek God in thanksgiving to Him. All of those things are the exercise of the spiritual life that we have, given to us by our God, purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ through His death on the cross, and worked in us by God's Holy Spirit. Christian's prayer is the breath of his life. And even as our prayers descend from things spiritual, from things heavenly, from prayers regarding our inner life with God, from prayers regarding the Church of Jesus Christ, down to the ground, down to the seed that is sown in the ground, down to days of sunshine, down to clouds of rain falling upon the earth, we still live. We still live in holiness, in righteousness, in love for God as we pray to Him regarding those earthly, mundane things. So it becomes more and more true that we see this proverb in its blessed truth and reality, in the wisdom of this practice. To labor as the righteous people of God tends to life. As we labor before God, as we labor under his care, delighting in his care, conscious of his care every day, we don't need to wait for harvest. We don't need to wait to see the effect of our labor or to receive the fruit of any of our labor to know that we live. It is our blessing in every part of our life to live under the care, under the mercy of our God. It is our privilege to see that as our life, but also our redemption from the wickedness that is identified also in this very same verse, antithetically, the fruit of the wicked is sin. But at the same time, the strength and the force of this proverb is there to correct us in the way that we even now tend to think. We are blessed not merely in the fruit that we receive. We are to know our blessedness even in the labor itself. So then we consider this text, Proverbs 10, verse 16, under the theme, laboring to life. We see, first of all, the equation overturned. Secondly, the wisdom taught. And finally, the way exercised. Now, in this first point, we stand in need of correction. It's very easy for us to see and understand this need if we look at ourselves as being in a classroom. And this classroom is taught by wisdom, especially as personified in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has an exercise for us to take up. Wisdom has a test for us to take. And we have in the Word of God before us this evening six different members, six different descriptive words: righteous, labor, life, fruit, and wicked, and sin. Now, in the original Hebrew, the words tendeth to are not presented. In fact, this verse has no verb to it at all. The King James Version of the translators, determining to make it more readable, inserted properly this verb, tendeth to, but it is not itself found in the original, so it's very, very compact and very, very tightly woven together. But if we separate all six of these words, and if wisdom asks us to put them together and assemble them into a certain order, what would you and I come up with? What would you and I answer? We might very easily and very quickly give this match, righteous and life, wicked and sin. That is obvious, and that's the entire point of this proverb, the difference between those two. It's also obvious from the context, this entire chapter distinguishes thoroughly, it distinguishes over and over again between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the godly and the wicked. But we would have an incorrect answer when it comes to the other two words of this verse, fruit and labor. We would consistently, we would surely come up with this pattern. The fruit of the righteous tendeth to life. The labor of the wicked to sin. That's often how we think. That's the way we suppose things ought to go. And if wisdom should tell you and me that is an incorrect answer, that is not true wisdom here, wisdom might ask us, why did you say that? Why did you make those connections? Why did you work it that way? And we would be ready with a defense. We'd be ready to explain our actions, why we came to the conclusion that we did. First of all, we would say, not the righteous, but the wicked are those whose labor we have to see and consider. And it's proper to say that the labor of the wicked is cut off. They do not achieve what they desire. They do not achieve their goals. That's part of God's judgment. That's part of God's curse upon them. Fruit does not belong to them. Only labor, only toil, only hardship until what they have worked so hard for is gone. And we might refer to the scriptures. The people labor in the very fire. As they had the fire burning up their works, they continue to preserve and keep and build up on those works. They are all destined to be destroyed. Or he might say, sin, as sin, belongs really to the labor of the wicked. As they take up their labor, as they take their place in the world, as they take up their part in society, laboring and working, there they are, the wicked, in their sin. And we must say that in their labor, they only produce more and more that is sinful. And it is much easier for us to draw a connection between the wicked and their labor. But the idea of fruit upon that labor may trouble us. We may think that if God has his hand, if God gives to them fruit upon their labor and God gives to them their hope and expectation of that labor, doesn't that diminish the quality of that fruit as tending to sin? Perhaps we should say it ought to tend to repentance. Perhaps it ought to tend to some understanding and knowledge of God which would lead them to repent. But then we might look over at the other side of life and say, we simply cannot make the connection between labor and toil, bearing a burden, laboring to exhaustion and weariness. It's hard for us to see life in those things. Better to think of those things as the inheritance of the wicked, part of the curse of God, rather than life. How could we be wrong? And we might well say then, the true blessing, the enjoyment of life is with fruit. Labor takes away. Labor makes weary. How can that possibly be the portion of the righteous and even tend to life? Doesn't that tend to death? Doesn't that tend to weariness? What tends to life? What brings life? What helps life is fruit. Receiving abundance for our toil. Receiving profit from our labor. Looking at it and enjoying it. We feel more fresh, more lively. We are encouraged in what we have seen and the fruit of our labor rather than our work. But for all of our explanation, for all of our efforts to justify our answer, we are wrong. Proverbs 10, verse 16 is the wisdom of God. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. And here, in the middle of this 10th chapter, in the middle of this exposition of the difference between the righteous and the wicked, this difference carries its force through it. The righteous and the wicked, the righteous and the wicked, the righteous and the wicked. Throughout, and we come to the 16th verse, and we might stumble at it. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Now we note that there is a progress and there is a development in each of the two parts of this proverb. So that the King James Version very properly uses this word tendeth to. The Hebrew can be translated as to or for, but a very wise translation we have here in this word tendeth to. So there is a process, there is development in the two parts of verse 16. First of all, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Labor tends to life. Then on the other hand, in the second part, there's the process where a fruit tends to or leads to sin. But now we're meant to apply this progress to the difference between the two. The first belongs to the righteous. This is the labor of the righteous. This labor is for them to take up. This labor is for them to do. And the basic character of this labor, for the righteous is that it tends to life. There is something wonderful, there is something glorious in that truth. You don't have to wait for fruit. In that labor, for the righteous is a tendency to life. And the opposite is true. We might say, just as much a wonder, just as much a powerful thing to consider, fruit, that which one receives, that which one would tend to enjoy, it is said, according to the wicked, that fruit is to sin. That fruit is for sin. It is the basic nature, it is the basic tendency of that fruit of the wicked to be sin, the nature of the case. So, let the righteous labor. They are in the way of life. Let the wicked receive fruit upon their labor, fruit that makes them happy, fruit that makes them excited, fruit that makes them enthusiastic. It all goes towards sin. So we have the antithesis carrying through with its power and force, both for the righteous and the wicked, the righteous in their labor, the wicked for their fruit, the righteous for life, the wicked for sin. It is the air that each breathes. It is the water that each drinks. It is the fruit. It is the meat that each eats. Righteousness to life, wickedness to sin, whether labor or fruit. When we submit, when we simply submit to this wisdom of God, there is much for us to understand and much wisdom for us to be taught. I think it is best if we consider the second line of this proverb first to see things perfectly clearly. So we look first of all at the way of the wicked. What here identifies the wicked in the particular specific word of this psalm is that of fruit. Fruit. These wicked know the ways of God. They observe the ways of God and his ordinances in the creation. And they realize that there is a power in the creation, that power that God has provided that they can use to their benefit and their advantage. They know how to work. They know how to labor. They know how to take raw materials that are presented to them out of the earth. They know how to wield them, how to shape them, how to form them. They know how to pass them on from supplier to supplier to bring about a finished product. So they labor And as they labor, the Lord, in his providence, watches over them. And he watches over them even according to this word of Proverbs 10, verse 16. They work, and the Lord gives them success in their work and in their labor. They build their homes. They make their cars. They bring their paychecks home. They have food for their families. They enjoy the good things of this earth, and they enjoy them as fruit. And they receive fruit in great abundance. But then what happens? They observe and see what they have received in their wickedness. They see what they have accomplished in the labor that they have put forward in their wicked defiance of God. What we have from fate, from fortune, from chance. We have our position in society by fate or fortune or chance. But we, with our intelligence, we with our wisdom, lay hold on these opportunities. We lay hold on what we find. We guide ourselves by our hands. We educate ourselves with our minds to craft and to create, to make. And here we are, enjoying to the full the fruit of our labor. We do not need God. So they assure themselves over and over and over again, through years and centuries and millennia, as seed time comes to harvest, and there for them is an abundance of harvest. So they eat and they drink and they say, who needs God? What is their fruit? In their fruit is more ability, more strength to sin against God. We are meant to ask, is rain and sunshine God's favor? Is strength and ability given to wicked men God's favor? Are the things that they receive as fruit of their labor the grace of God? By it they hasten in their condemnation, according to the decree, according to the purpose of God. There can be no such thing as common grace. But at the same time, there is a very sharp warning for you and for me. For although we might say theoretically, we might say doctrinally, deny common grace, root and branch, yet from a practical standpoint, it is so hard to drive it from our minds. Always working to come in. It's always suggesting itself. So the warning comes for us in this way. You and I are not allowed to judge by fruit, by success. So one labors, and they receive a great abundance. They are wildly successful. They carry on. Their business grows and prospers. Is that a conclusion in itself that God is gracious to them, that God is with them, and that there is some goodness in all these things? Proverbs 10, verse 16 says to you and me, no. Be warned. We might think to ourselves, and we might think of ourselves, how much our work has prospered. We have labored. We have striven. We have put in long hours. We have worn ourselves out figuring out ways to improve our business, how to make more money, and we succeed. Is merely that success a ground for saying, for coming to this conclusion, I have God's grace God is blessing me. Look over. Look over at that wicked man. Look over perhaps at that wicked farmer. Doesn't have to pay a church budget. Doesn't have to pay a Christian school tuition. Doesn't have to give care for the cause of the kingdom of God with his earthly gain. He desecrates the Sabbath, taking care of his farm. He can have more fields. He can vest himself more because he can work work 7 days a week. And then he is far more successful than you are. Has he gained? Has he truly gained? Is he better off? And whatever field you might engage in, whatever your work may be, compare it to the outstanding among the wicked. How successful they are, how much they have. What they have is no judgment of what they are, whether righteous or unrighteous, whether godly or wicked. The judgment we may not make about ourselves, a judgment we may not make about different and various countries. I think of some of the poor countries in Africa compared to Canada and the United States. It's poor countries, obviously third world countries, but they have laws in their society, laws on their books that are according to the Word of God. They proudly identify themselves as a Christian nation, and they have laws that protect Christianity. An amazing thing. And yet those countries live on the fringe of poverty. Must not be given in on any level to the error of common grace. The other warning that comes to us is this. You and I hear the word blessed. Blessed. I am blessed from the lips and from the mouths of many. And you know what that means. I have abundance. I have enough. I'm satisfied. I enjoy the fruit of my labor, and therefore I am blessed. Maybe in comparison with another who is perhaps hungry, perhaps whose business seems to be a failure. And he over there is not able to say, I am blessed. Not at all. The blessing is declared here to be in labor. In labor. And now you must note the particular force of the comparison that is made in this verse, Proverbs 10, verse 16. If you look at it, the first member speaks of labor. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The second member speaks of the fruit of the wicked is to sin. What that parallel form does is that the second is meant to take away from the first. So that we are meant to think here only of labor. All fruit cut apart. All fruit set aside. Fruit here is not part of the equation at all. We are not here to entertain the question of whether or not this labor of the righteous is going to be fruitful. We may even suppose that it will not be fruitful. It will not be successful. And yet the truth is still meant to stand. The fruit, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. This is the labor of those who are righteous before God. And the labor itself is said to tend to or to have the character of life. And that must be so very, very striking to you and me. Because we think of labor. Labor means expending toil, care, and effort. And that toil and care and effort is expended towards fruit. Now, you and I might look at that notion of fruit, and it must be asked of you and me, why are you and I laboring? Why are you working? Why are you putting forth this kind of effort and energy? Maybe even, why are you running yourself into the ground? And you're going to answer, this is what I hope to achieve. This is what I hope to accomplish. This is the fruit that I look forward to. And then when I have this fruit, when I look at it all and examine it, I can say, I am glad I did what I did. I am glad I put forth that much effort because now I have fruit. We're not meant to go there. We're meant to say, in the expenditure, in the putting out of effort and labor, there is life. So what seems to us to be loss, what is the activity of losing, is living. It is living. Now, we might take all that labor and all that effort, all that struggle even, and it's invested. And we're going to fret, we're going to worry, we're going to be anxious about that labor. Is it really going to work out? Is it really going to come to pass? Will my hope be achieved? We might think of all the things that stand in the way, all the things that might happen to destroy and ruin that hope. Then we might feel that we are at a loss. But this word of God comes to us and says to you and me, you need not worry. In your labor, you live. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Life. Life as strength. Life as abundance. Life as joy. Life as encouragement. And labor itself according to this word of God. To be enjoyed while in the way of labor, while in the means to the end. So we must well look at then how that is true. How that is true. Now the key to a proper understanding of this is to know whose labor this is. Whose labor? This is the labor of the righteous. The righteous. We must say that these are the righteous who are justified. Justified. They are righteous with the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. It might go back to the time of Solomon writing these Proverbs. The labor of the righteous was back then when Solomon wrote these words was exactly the same as it is now, the labor of the righteous in Jesus Christ through faith in him, receiving from Jesus Christ his righteousness as the righteousness of God. To have this kind of labor is to be in prayer for forgiveness, in prayer for redemption, in prayer trusting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to receive from God through that faith righteousness, and through that righteousness to be justified before God. Only then can you and I possibly say that this labor identified in Proverbs 10, verse 16, can be mine and can therefore tend to life. Well, then there right away is our answer. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live not only when they receive fruit upon their labor, or even not only if their works should fail, The just shall live by faith also, as when how they labor, because they're always righteous before God. And even in Proverbs 10, verse 16, we might say, is the gospel proclaimed? It is indeed a blessed word. It says, the labor of the righteous. It does not say labor to be righteous. It does not say work, the works that God requires to be righteous. It is simply, here are the righteous, righteous by God's grace, and this is the labor that these righteous take up and do. And in this way, their labor comes to them through, in, and by the grace of God, as they are already righteous in Jesus Christ. Then, in that righteousness is the life of Christian labor. There are three different ways in which you are privileged to exercise the truth of this text. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Here is that life. First of all, to know that whatever calling you have, whatever your work and labor is, it comes to you from God. He has appointed you to it. He has given it to you, and you must understand that every single day, as you look at the work of that day, it is your privilege to say, the Lord has given to me this work. The Lord has given to me these tasks in His grace to me. It's your life. It's your life before God, to stand before Him as His servant, and to say at the very beginning of the day, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That first of all. And secondly, it is your life, when you face that work that He has given you to do, not to take it and go away with it, to perform it, but to stand before God again, knowing that work is before you, and that it may be even in your hands to do it, that you look to Him again, and that you say, Lord, what Thou hast called me to do this day, I cannot do it. Of myself, I have no strength, I have no ability, and I certainly cannot, in the doing of this work, seek Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness. I need Thy supply. Supply me with the strength I need for every single task. Give to me the abilities, give to me the talents I need to take up this work as special. And give to me Thy Holy Spirit, that as I work, I may truly seek the things that are above. And in that seeking, we live. And then, thirdly, that as we know fruit, only through the accumulation of that labor day by day, and as we might enjoy that fruit only after a long time, investing and then waiting for that return, this is our life then too, to commit it every day into the hand of the Lord. To say to Him, I have taken up the work that Thou hast given me to do. I thank Thee for it. I have used the gifts and abilities, the mind, the wisdom, the talents that Thou hast given to me to take up this work in Thy grace. I thank Thee for that strength and those abilities. And therefore I pray Thee, as Thou hast given to me this work, as Thou hast given to me the strength and abilities to carry on in it, I commit it to Thee. Wilt Thou watch over it? Wilt Thou care for it? And if it be Thy will, may it be fruitful, that I may enjoy fruit of Thy hand and in Thy labor. There is your and my life. To live, to walk, to work before our God, and then to know and enjoy our fruit as well. fruit not to sin, but fruit which even tends to life. All by the grace of our God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee that thou art a God so gracious to teach us wisdom. We pray from thy word, give us wisdom to take heed to thy word and make us truly wise. We thank thee that we might know our labor through faith by the righteousness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, given to us to be a labor unto life. So may we walk, so may we pray as thy children, seeking the grace of thee, our Heavenly Father, upon us in all our labor and all our work, that we might live from thy hand, and living from thy hand might ever live unto thee, our God, to thy glory and to thy praise. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.